Judges chapter 11, verses 29 through 40. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Begin reading verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even until thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, then he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us to learn from it and apply the lessons of it today. May we put all bitterness and other things in our minds and our hearts out of sight today, that we may be able to focus on you and your word. And Lord, may your word challenge us. May your Holy Spirit direct us in how we should live and serve you. And as he sings in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The times of the judges, Jephthah's foolish vow. Jephthah's foolish vow. The last time we were in this study, we learned a little bit about the beginning of the life and time of the judge Jephthah. Kind of rough. He was the son of a harlot. He was cast out of the home from the legitimate sons of Gilead. And then when the children of Ammon began to make war in Gilead, the elders sent word, hey, bring this bold boy back, because he was a big boy. Strong man, big. You could look at him and tell him, oh, this guy is strong and powerful. And he went back to him, he's like, I remember what you did to me. Why in the world will I help you? Because if you do, we'll make you our leader. He said, if God's for it, I'm for it. They said, sure. And he prayed, and God allowed him to help. And now we come to the pickup in this part of the story. It's right where we ended and continue with the rest of the major events involving Jephthah. What I want you to understand as we keep going through this morning, never make promises to the Lord that are outlandish. Okay? Never. The first point this morning is the vow. The vow, verses 29 to 31. The word vow, as defined by Webster's 1828 dictionary, is as follows. A solemn promise made to God. I like how that's worded. A solemn promise made to God. That's why when a husband and wife get married, they make vows. That's promises, a solemn promise to God and to each other. In other words, you guarantee to do something if God does something. The only vows you should take with God, however, are the ones that He's ordained. I'm getting a little ahead, but a lot of people want to make a deal with God. It doesn't really work that way at all. But after the in verse 29, after the rebuttal with the king of the Ammonites, Jephthah followed the Holy Spirit and went toward the encampment of their enemies. If you were here last week, you knew that Jephthah was not a political man. He got right to the point. He sent messengers to the king of Ammon. He's like, why in the world are you here? Why are you trying to make war with us? And he's like, because you took our land. And Jephthah's like, no, we didn't. We did not. In fact, y'all were the ones that gave us problems when we came over Egypt. And we're just, whatever, people give us trouble, the Lord allows us to take what's theirs. We do, because it was them the one that gave us fits to begin with. In fact, that happened over 300 years ago, and now why in the world are you trying to do something about it? That part of Jephthah I like. Just get to the point. No, as a matter of fact, this is how it is. You're the one who's in error. Well, the king of Ammon didn't take too highly to that. Well, when that happened, God's Holy Spirit led Jephthah to proceed and go fight. God truly was with this judge because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You won't know if God is, if you look in God's Word, you won't know if God was with somebody. You'll see where God will send somebody, or say that His Holy Spirit fell upon them or led them. That's how we know that God was with them. However, since God was with Jephthah, he shouldn't have even tried to make a vow. He should have just had faith. That's all he needed. If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Jephthah, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's leading you. All you got to do is follow. But for some reason, Jephthah got a little bold. I guess he was so proud of what he was doing that he made an outlandish and foolish vow. So he told the Lord in verse 30 and 31 that if God delivered the Ammonites unto him, he would sacrifice whatever met him at the doors of his house to God as a burnt sacrifice. What were you thinking? Now, Jephthah probably thought that some animal would meet him as he entered the gates of his house, as was common in the day. They had, you know, all kind of animals roaming. They had some in the fields and so on and so forth, but they did have some around the house. And so I'm sure he expected, as soon as he walked through the gates of the house, that, you know, some goat or sheep or cow would come out in the way, as they always did. And, oh, Lord, if you really deliver those Ammonites, I'll sacrifice whatever walks through those doors. Well, however, now this is where a lot of people in today's world, they begin to question God's people. But I want you to understand something this morning. Jephthah would have to keep his vow no matter what, because Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2 declares unto us, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. That was the law. That was the law. If you happen to make a vow to God that comes out of your mouth, you have to keep it. You cannot break it. That was the law. My next point this morning is the outcome. The outcome, verses 32 through 35. In verses 32 and 33, the Lord was already with them, with Jephthah and the Israelites, and the Ammonites were defeated in the battle. As the Bible puts it, they had a great slaughter upon them. Well, of course it was. God saw the repentance of Israel. He felt sorry for them, so he sent Jephthah to lead them out and deliver them from the hands of the enemy. They were seeing all this happen before their eyes, and even Jephthah knew the Lord was with them. Remember, if the Lord is with you and it is His will for something to be done, it will be done. Your simple faith in the Lord is sufficient. Now, I don't have this in my notes this morning, but you think about, let's go over the New Testament just for a little bit. Do you remember Paul when he was wanting something, as he put it, as a thorn in his flesh, removed? And he asked the Lord three times for that to be removed. And we don't know what thorn in the flesh is. I'm not even going to any kind of speculations because we don't know. But Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient." Y'all, if we can get to that point, if we can just simply get to that point in our lives, we'll be better off. If we'll be accepting the Lord's will and His grace, that'll be enough. That'll be enough. You know, I know what happens. We allow some heresy to sneak in through the world and influence us because it's rampant. I mean, it's just so rampant in the world today. Let's say, you know, there's all these so-called preachers that preach and teach that if you pray it, it'll happen. No, not according to God's word. It says, by His will, not our will. Now, sometimes God will grant our request, but we never prayed that it should be His will. See, if we'd prayed for His will to be done, it'd been a whole lot better off. Sometimes we get exactly what we ask for. We wish we hadn't done that. Jephthah got a little more than he bargained for. Verse 34, Jephthah returned home, and it wasn't a cow that he first saw. It wasn't a sheep. It wasn't a goat. It wasn't even an insect. His daughter was the first thing to meet him. Not that it would have made it any better. Jephthah probably would have hoped a servant would have come out instead of her. But she was the first one. The very first thing, period, that came out. And as the Bible says, she met him with timbrels and dances. Timbrel is a type of tambourine. It was very common and tradition of the day for women to meet the men coming home after a victorious battle. And there was a time of celebration. And they'd come out dancing all around them and jingling and banging their tambourines or timbrels. It was a huge celebration. And this one was celebrating not just the great battle, but their freedom. They were now free from the enemy. Oh, it was a great time of rejoicing. Everybody was happy. But she was Jephthah's only child. The Bible makes it very clear to us that she was his only child. No son or other daughter other than her. That was it. Verse 35, Jephthah tore his clothes as soon as he saw his daughter. It was supposed to be a time of rejoicing and happiness. And oh, we've been free from the Ammonites and we've been free from their oppression. God has reigned victorious for us. In this great time of rejoicing, but he was in a great amount of sadness and grief. He quickly told his daughter that he was greatly upset because of a vow he had made to the Lord and could not go back on it. Mm. My last point this morning, the consequence, verse 36 to 40. We tend to think of consequences as negative actions, but that's not necessarily the case. Physics will tell us that for every action, there's the equal or opposite reaction. Whatever you do, good or bad, has consequences. You do something good, good things come out of it. You do something bad, bad things come out of it. Well, here's what happened from Jephthah's actions. In verse 36 and 37, Jephthah's daughter pretty much understood that her father had to keep his word but wanted 2 months to enjoy life. Now, I have asked this question to young people before and pretty much got the same reaction. I haven't asked any of our young people, but I can pretty much understand what your reaction would be. I would, you know, you young ladies, what if you found out that your daddy said, the first thing that comes out of the house, I have to kill it and sacrifice it to God. He'd have been like, you're not doing it with me, daddy. Not going to happen. Yeah. Bye-bye, daddy. See you never. Never, ever again. What about you men? I know some men be like, oh, I wouldn't have done it. And I understand that. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But just keep that in mind before we get to that point. But she understood, as the wording has here in verses 36 and 37, she knew her daddy had to keep that vow. No matter what. She knew that if he didn't, that the Lord would cause them all grief if Jephthah didn't keep his word. This moment of enjoying freedom would just be short-lived. She knew that the people needed freedom. So she asked her dad if she'd go up and down the mountains, the Bible says, to bewail her virginity. The Hebrew word for bewail means to shed great tears in sadness. She would be sad because she would never know a man carnally and thus would not fulfill her desire to have children in life. You've got to remember the times back then. Women didn't have rights. Women did not have any kind of political power whatsoever. They had no say. Their lot in life was getting married and bearing children, especially male children. And it greatly upset a woman if she was not able to have children or allowed to have children. It greatly upset her because that's what a woman lived for back then. Now, I realize that that's not in our culture today, but try to understand their perspective back then. She would never be a mother. She would never get married. And she wanted a time to grieve for that. So in verses 38 through 40, Jephthah allowed this to happen. The whole time she was gone, she remained a virgin. Isn't it interesting that she did not sin when she had opportunities? Many people in today's time would not have done that. They'd have been like, well, I'm not going to die a virgin. I'm going to go out and sin. My daddy's going to do this to me. Well, I'm going to live life. She didn't. Her faith in God was greater than her daddy's foolishness. And by even, and we don't know her name. We don't know her name. But we do know this, that her example is recorded in God's word. And it was an example to all the other women back then as well. You live for God no matter what. No matter what. You put that in today's society, most people, I mean, even people who call themselves children of God will not do that. And that's sad, y'all. They'll say, well, I mean, if this is going to happen to me, well, heck with living, right? I'm going to do whatever I want. No. Look, y'all, life is hard. Life is unfair. No one ever promised that good things are going to come your way. If you haven't been through hard times, guess what? You're going to go through hard times. Life is tough. People are going to do you wrong. Even, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth, sometimes even in your own family will do you wrong. Your own flesh and blood. And that hurts. And the human instinct is like, well, if you're not going to treat me right, I'm not going to treat you right either. That's not what God's Word says. We're supposed to live right and abide by God's Word no matter what. By her allowing to be gone for 2 months, Jephthah would have been doing some grieving himself. And see, the Bible doesn't say that, but you know that he was. Kicking himself, just probably bewailing himself. How foolish I was. Having to know that. Having to go through all this. And for his daughter, and that's his only child. And when she returned, Jephthah fulfilled his vow to the Lord. As a result, it became a custom for the women to go 4 days out of the year to mourn for Jephthah's daughter. Because that was an example. You live for God no matter what. My conclusion this morning. Many would ask, why didn't Jephthah just not keep the vow? That's a good question. Oh, well, you know, he just said that, and, you know, God really understood what he meant. Okay, well, I would ask the question, why would he make such a foolish vow in the first place? I don't know why he made the vow. I don't. But I do know why he kept it. He kept the vow because of his fear of God. He knew the law. You make a vow to the Lord, you keep it, no matter what. Obedience to God is what he knew he had to do because of his fear of God. And he knew that God would punish Israel as a result. Him keeping his daughter and disobeying God, he knew was not worth it. Now that sounds so harsh to us, y'all. And you know what? Back then, it was harsh to them. I hope you understand that. They say, well, that must not have been harsh to them. No, it was harsh to them. That's why they have a custom for the women to go 4 days a year to mourn for his daughter. It was harsh. I don't know for a fact, but that's just not something that they did. They didn't sacrifice their children to God. God never once in his word says, you've got to sacrifice your firstborn to me. No, there's other things that take our place. You see, the whole Old Testament and all the sacrifices that they did for God, he specifically said what he wanted to be sacrificed to them, but the whole point was it was taking their place. You take the example of the scapegoat. That's a great lesson, by the way. You take two goats, and you put your hand on that goat and you confess your sins before God, and that goat takes your place where you should die for your sins. The book of Romans tells us, for the wages of sin is what? Death. It's a price for our sin. But for dying spiritually, all that was supposed to take that place, and then that goat would die and the other one would go free. Then would go free, showing that your sins have been forgiven as far as the eye can see. Of course, all that pointed to one sacrifice that was made for all of mankind, both past, present, and future, and that's Jesus Christ, who took our place. the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Finally, don't ever make deals with God. Just don't, especially when they're outlandish. His way is the best and the only way for us. Now, the world will tell you different. They will. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to pray to God. God, if you do this, I'll do this. Well, there's other examples in the Word of God where people have tried to make deals with God. This is probably the harshest one I can prove to you this morning. But listen, if God tells us to live by His Word, there's no other way of living around that, y'all. And I've heard from so many worldly people say, oh, me and the man upstairs, we got a deal. No, you don't have a deal at all. In your mind, you have that deal, but God never said okay to it. He said there's one and only one way, that's through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That's it. That is it. Oh, well, God's not going to punish me because how good I live for Him. You have been deceived, my friend. Let's put this in a more worldly context here. I'm referring to that example. You get caught stealing. That's a pretty serious offense. You get arrested. And you go before the judge and you expect him to say, oh, Mr. Clark, you've been a really good person. Free to go. No, what's that judge going to say? Guilty. You are guilty of what you've done. And this is the punishment, whatever it is, for your crime. What's the old saying? Don't do the crime if you can't pay the time. We want the judge to say, oh, you're free to go. All charges dropped. But the reality is the judge is going to do the just thing to do. Well, here's the thing about God. God has the power and ability to do what that judge can't do. He can forgive you. He can. But there's still price to pay for our sins. It's like a person who's been addicted to drugs so long, and praise the Lord if they finally ever get out of that mess and get clean. Some people expect their bodies to look and be like it used to be before the drugs. Well, guess what? It won't. They're still going to have those damages to their body and those scars and so on and so forth for the rest of their life. But they've been forgiven by God and they're clean. That's great. But there's still the consequences for all that. Don't deceive yourself into thinking, well, that you're good enough and God won't punish you for whatever you consider minor. Sin is sin in God's eyes. The punishment for the sins are different, but sin is sin. So don't try to wiggle your way out of something for God or not doing something for God. God's word is very clear how we're supposed to live. Don't make deals. Be obedient to Him no matter what. And when things go wrong, you still remain faithful to God. I'm not going to stand here and tell you a circumstance of people. I'll just give you one general one. The parents who raise their children right, who are faithful to the Lord, and those children are faithful to the Lord, and then somehow those children get killed. I mean, look at Job. He lost everything except his wife. That was it. He lost everything else. He lost all of his children. He lost his house. He lost all his livelihood. He lost it all in a day, y'all. And he lost his health, too, in the process. And then his wife was finally like, just curse God and die and get it over with. But you know, sometimes we can get beat up like that in life. Maybe not to the extent of Job, but y'all, it can happen. Some people, they have children, they lose them all. They outlive them all. And that's so sad for a parent to go through, and I just hate that. I feel for them. But that can still be a great example, and I've seen it too, where they just keep living for the Lord. They hurt. They hurt. Job hurt. You still keep living for the Lord no matter what. Because my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, people in this world, they need hope. They need Jesus. We've talked about this before in dealing with death. The Bible says that we are saved shouldn't mourn, but we don't mourn like those who don't have any hope, those who are lost. People who go through something tragic in their life, they need hope, and they don't have it because they don't have Jesus. But for those of us who may have went through something like that or exactly like that, we can go and say, look, I know exactly what you're going through. But here is what got me through all that. And it was the Lord. It's the Lord. I hope and pray this morning that you will listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen very closely to Him this morning. If He's burning your heart to be saved this morning, don't give any other kind of excuses or any kind of what you'll give as a quote-unquote a deal to wiggle out of that. God doesn't work that way. Just yield to God's will, as His Word has said, and you'll be a whole lot better off because of it. Maybe you are saved this morning, but you've got some burdens in your life that you have trouble dealing with. Maybe you have some problems in your life and you're concerned about all this and that. Just give it all over to the Lord. Let Him take care of it. And maybe even let you be an instrument of His peace in the process. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Whatever God is doing with your heart today, let Him have His way and will with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father,